The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I do want to tell you about Friol Deep Penetrating Oil. Friol Deep Penetrating Oil is used for so many things. It addresses rusted nuts and bolts.
We're talking about cars, right?
Fuel tank removal, seized engines. Well, really, yes, of course, auto, but all things mechanical. It's industrial strength Friol. It spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts, and it frees them up with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Friol is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. After you give deep penetrating oil a try, we hope you'll find yourself pleased with the performance. Go and find it on the shelves at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa Auto Parts, or at select Walmart stores. That's Friol Deep Penetrating Oil. You're
free
in.
Free for all for Friol. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, when we went to break, well, I want to come back to the draft. You know, it was so funny because the thing about the draft is, I don't know, it was several seasons ago when people started booing Roger Goodell when he would come out onto the stage. And this year, true to form, new city, different fans in the room, Cleveland, they booed him right away. But now he seems to embrace it. I mean, he was waving his hands to say, I can't hear you. I want more boos. And so what seemed like a shaming moment for him has now become his signature crowd call.
When you realize it's not going away, you just embrace it as love.
And so what happened on social media is there was this feeling that because he's embracing it now, it's not as satisfying
exactly.
to all of
That's
us.
That's the psychology. That it's brilliant on Roger's part, I got to tell you.
No, I loved booing him. It was just part of the fandom. But now when he's all there, hey, come give it to me. I don't know. I don't seem to enjoy it nearly as much.
Yeah, well, it was getting stale.
Yeah.
Like when it first happened, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're booing the commissioner. It was funny and all that. And now it's just stale. I mean, NFL fans are creative. Let's get something new.
All right, we'll move on from that one. There were five quarterbacks taken in the first round, and it is intriguing to think when they will finally start a game. Trevor and Zach, number one and two overall, likely to start week one. You've got to figure that the Jaguars and the Jets are going to go with their guys. They made this big investment.
Well, they're basement dwellers, and they're basement dwellers because they didn't have a quarterback that could get them out of there.
Hey, Jaguars have Gardner Minshew, someone whom you've been very, very sympathetic to over the years.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I'm all about the hair. And the Jaguars stayed true to their hair and their harem.
They got him.
So there we go.
Yeah, I might have thought Minshew could be a nice bridge quarterback somewhere, but not for Trevor Lawrence.
Well, you got to put Lawrence on the field. Maybe Minshew and
Green Bay. Yeah, Minshew and Green Bay. Look, the Packers need to get some other quarterbacks in camp.
Yeah, because, you know, have you taken a look at the Packers' depth chart? It's really interesting. They've got, obviously, at the QB position, Rodgers is number one.
Yep.
There is nothing at number two. And Jordan Love is number three on their depth chart.
He got beat out by the second-string quarterback, right?
Called the Invisible Man. Kind of interesting. So that tells me Jordan Love is not ready, which brings about another point of, you know, this is why I stick with my it's all about Shailene theory, because
Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend,
yeah, well,
fiance,
and
they need to be together, and she's in L.A. You still see that's the reason.
She's not going to Green Bay.
No.
She's like, are you out of your mind? I'm an actress based in L.A. I am not spending my 6 months, and 6 or 9 months, and especially the winter, in Green Bay. No, not happening. And he's saying, I got you, girl, so watch me get out of here. But what I would say is that the fuss about Jordan Love, I can see where, yes, he felt he was they weren't transparent. The organization wasn't transparent for him. However, there is no threat of Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love hasn't even sniffed the field. Jordan Love isn't even listed. There is a blank number two on the Packers' depth chart. So that being a threat to Aaron Rodgers is a no.
Yeah, it would be a strange insecurity for the MVP of the league to be worrying about Jordan Love at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, I digress.
But they do need to go find somebody else. And there really aren't a lot of other quarterbacks just floating around out there.
Well, Deshaun Watson, maybe.
Yeah, well, there may be that big trade to come. But just to round out and run practices, they're going to have to go get some kind of journeyman quarterback, some kind of undrafted rookie out of college. It's a really thin depth chart for the Packers when you remove Aaron Rodgers from the top of it.
Which is a little crazy.
But going back to these five rookie quarterbacks, Trevor and Zach starting on day one, then you've got the other three. And the question on the table, of course, is when will those other three get the opportunity to start a game in the NFL? And we can look at each situation. I mean, Justin Fields may be the next best quarterback taken. Others would argue Trey Lance, but let's talk Justin Fields for a minute. He walks into a quarterback room that includes two pretty good veterans, savvy veterans, good bridge quarterbacks in Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. So if the Packers are short on depth, the Bears have three quarterbacks in that room, and Justin Fields will presumably wait a few games behind an Andy Dalton, who is the proclaimed starter at this point.
I mean, I think what the Bears can hope for, I love their draft. I think what they can hope for is a Kansas City situation where Andy Dalton does a good job because he's got more weapons than he had in Cincinnati. He does a good enough job that they can bring Justin Fields up, like at least get him familiar with the system and the speed of the NFL and all of that. I don't know that that's going to happen, but possibly.
Well, do you see the same point in San Francisco, the 49ers? There's Jimmy G. He could be the Alex Smith to the apparent Patrick Mahomes, Trey Lance. They do have a really good bridge quarterback in Jimmy G. I mean, Jimmy G, when he's been healthy, has been pretty darn productive and successful for the 49ers. His track record is good. So they, too, can be patient with playing Trey Lance.
Absolutely. And they have been, unlike the Packers, they have been very transparent with Jimmy G. He's not upset. I mean, if anyone should be upset, it should be Jimmy G. I mean, the 49ers gave up a bounty long before the draft to trade up to the number three spot. If I'm Jimmy G, I'm like, a gulp. But he's not, because the organization was up front with him. And they said, as long as you are continuing to be productive, as you have been for us when you're on the field, you're our guy. We are not telling Trey Lance he's guaranteed to be the starter in 2021. We like you, Jimmy. We like what you've done for us. You know, the issue is his durability. I mean, he's and his ability to be on the field, and he's not. But as long they're going to go, my gut is they're going to go with Jimmy G as long as he can be productive.
Well, and to add to that, when you think about it, Justin Fields is probably more pro ready than Trey Lance at this point.
Sure.
And so Trey Lance has more developmental time required, and they've got a better starter in
FCS
Jimmy G.
FCS versus FBS competition, first and foremost.
That's right. Yeah. The level of competition is certainly a big differentiator between those two. And interestingly, the 49ers have a team that's built to win now. They're not a developmental team. And the idea that a rookie Trey Lance could step into that team and lead them to a Super Bowl, I think, is fantasy. Jimmy G is probably more equipped to win games in the here and now. And with that supporting cast and the expectations of that team, they really need to win here and now. They have a lot of the pieces to make a deep playoff run.
No, they do. And, you know, they had those pieces last year as well. But they got not only bit by the injury bug, they were decimated by the injury bug. And then the next man up was decimated by the injury bug. It was one of the worst seasons I've ever seen as far as injuries go. But I think what it really says, and I think the Texans and the Packers need to listen to this and learn, be transparent with your guy, especially your franchise guy that you have under center. Because now, not only do you have Jimmy G that's totally okay, at least publicly, that they've taken Trey Lance, number three overall, and gave up everything for him. He's also very willing and has said it. I look forward to mentoring this young guy. Mm. Like, I mean, it's not only, okay, I'm not going to be a brat about it. It's I'm embracing this, like Alex Smith did with Patrick Mahomes. That's the way to run an organization, and that's a way to not lose 20 steps when your main guy moves on, whether it's to injury, retirement, or a trade. So learn from that, Green Bay. Brian Gutekunst, Nick Caserio, learn from it. That's how you do it. It's called transparency.
All right, the Patriots drafting Mac Jones, number 15 overall. They've got Cam Newton as starter. And Bill Belichick is not the kind of guy who would rush a rookie out onto the field. I think Cam Newton starts probably at least halfway through that season. And then if Mac Jones is really developing and Cam Newton's struggling, that would be Mac Jones' opportunity somewhere about halfway through the year.
I think this is a beautiful situation. And I did not like Mac Jones in the top five. I love where he went at 15. I mean, he is a really cerebral guy. He's been brought up in a great system. He had tons of pieces around him, but he saw the speed of an NFL defense, the closest you can get in college, mm-hmm. even playing in the SEC and against in playing for Alabama. I think Bill Belichick is a very fair guy. He's blunt, he's serious, but he's very fair. And he saw, hey, Cam didn't cost us much. This guy is a former MVP. He took a team to the Super Bowl. I gave him nothing last year. Half of our defensive line opted out because of COVID. I didn't have weapons for him. It's only fair to give him a chance. We've got him on the cheap. I'd like Mac Jones. I mean, he is my type of guy. Like, he's a pocket passer. He is a snap taker.
He's the future of that team.
He is the future of the team. But I love that Belichick, I think what he's going to do is really give Cam a chance because, you know, Patriots win the shopping spree. They were Home Shopping Network in the offseason. I mean, they bought more than anybody in the free agent market. So they've now got pieces that were severely lacking. I really do think he's going to give Cam a chance and then hopefully be able to bring Mac Jones up slowly. But yes, I do believe he's the future of the franchise there.
The Patriots have the pieces now with the free agent shopping spree and then the opt-outs returning. I think they've got a lot of talent on that team. Quarterback is a question mark. How far can a Cam Newton or Mac Jones take them this year? Last quarterback I want to talk about, drafted at the top of the third round, the Texans pick up,
oh boy,
yes, Davis Mills of Stanford. And he's a guy who David Shaw said if he'd had another half season or a season under his belt, he might have gone as a top five pick. So their physical tools are there. He's got some talent. Texans take him. Texans presumably will not have Deshaun Watson next year. He's either going to be traded or suspended for a good chunk of the season. So they have Tyrod Taylor as starter week one. Davis Mills, though, is someone they need to see this year.
Yeah, no, I think they will. It's the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be winning. But here it is. I mean, the Texans are going to have a very high draft pick next year. They may go down in history as the first team to lose 17 games in a regular season.
Unless they've given it away, I'm not sure that they have a first round pick.
Oh no, they got so they are poised. Okay, they have the.
I'm so used to not. Them
no,
not
no, no, no. They'll have their own pick, which might be the number one pick overall. Certainly a top three pick, unless lightning strikes and something radical happens. And then they'll have whatever draft capital they get for trading Deshaun Watson. So they'll have the capital to get their quarterback of the future. It might be a Spencer Rattler next year. So they need to see if Davis Mills is the guy. So I think they've got to get him on the field sometime during the course of this year, 4 to 5 games at least, to get a look at what he looks like in real-time NFL competition.
I think that's the reason that Davis Mills slipped to the third round, because out of high school, he was one of the top recruits in the nation. And what happened at Stanford, he got stuck behind a depth chart that he really couldn't move from with K.J. Costello, well, Kelly Christ first, and then K.J. Costello, and then Davis Mills had his own set of injuries. But so he's had 11 collegiate games. I mean, the guy can move outside of the pocket. He's very disciplined. He's very cerebral. He's a beautiful pocket passer. He can be really great. It's just there's not a lot of, you know, much like Trey Lance, not a lot of film on him, not a lot of experience on him. And he did it during his senior COVID season. But he looked great. So,
I really like that pick for the Texans.
I do, too.
It met both need and talent, and to get him in the third round, I think, was pretty good value.
Do you think the message was sent, though, that Deshaun is not coming back? Do you think the Texans actually will trade Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think it's an open question. Let's address that when we come back. Okay. Actually, when we come back, we're going to first get a chance to visit with Britt Giroli. Britt Giroli is an MLB writer for The Athletic. She is very savvy on all things Major League Baseball, and we're going to ask her what team has been the biggest surprise at this point here in the MLB season. Britt Giroli next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.